Here's Andy Udman.
2 years ago, a vaccine completely changed my life. I would do anything to get my life back to normal.
History teaches us how effective vaccines are.
Vaccines are the best choice for almost all children.
I don't think it's that black and white. Vaccines in some way have been a victim of their own success.
The government, they're trying to protect society, but these motivations interfere with, safety issues.
In the last three decades, the numbers of doses of vaccines have more than tripled.
We are seeing a rise in the number of children with disabilities.
What if these shots that are supposed to protect kids actually hurt your child?
After the shots, I started getting sick. I've had two strokes, partial paralysis, partial vision, and I'm having seizures.
I would have never dreamt that this was a side effect of a vaccine.
Many of these have the potential to be neurotoxic.
The research is incomplete, and the certainty is not scientific.
A number of prescription drugs that have been licensed as safe have been found to be unsafe.
For the social fabric, it is better to insist on vaccination than to allow free rein.
The people who are approving the vaccines are taking the word of the pharmaceutical companies. The majority of vaccine research is paid for by the vaccine manufacturers themselves.
If you have a daughter in grade 7, should you be pumping chemicals into her arm by the name of Gardasil so she won't get cervical cancer? One of the most emotional, explosive angles to our whole health discussion that we have had on this radio station. The whole issue of vaccines. Are they linked to autism? Is the science behind vaccines good? Am I risking the life of my child if I give them a vaccine? Am I risking the life of my child if I don't give them a vaccine? Folks, this is one discussion that you need to hear this morning. And you need to phone a friend, especially if they're a young parent, and tell them, tune in to News Talk 1290 CJBK. There is a doctor coming to London next week who's going to talk about this very topic. It is a painful topic for so many parents because they don't know what to do. They're nervous about vaccines. And yet if they go to their own doctor and they even hint that they might not get vaccines for their children, they're looked at like they're from another planet. In fact, we had a chiropractor, a London father, on the air recently saying that at London Health Sciences Center, when he told them he wasn't going to get his child vaccinated, they virtually took him hostage and threatened to call the children's aid. Joining me this morning, as always on Thursday morning, Pam Colleen. Good morning, Pam.
Good morning, Andy.
Emotional subject.
Very emotional subject, and you're right, a lot of people are very confused over what to do.
And caught between a rock and a hard place, mm-hmm. between absolutely wanting to do the best for their child, mm-hmm. not sure whether giving the vaccine is more dangerous or withholding the vaccine, and then they get this tremendous pressure from their doctors and their schools.
That's right.
And you resist the vaccine in our schools, you get kicked out of school. Unless you have an exemption note. It's a very painful subject. Would you introduce our guest this morning?
That's right. Larry Pilevsky is a board-certified pediatrician. He's here to join us this morning. And he had an epiphany about vaccines several years ago, and now he works on this issue basically full-time.
I love so many of the guests mm-hmm. that you bring on who believed something for years mm-hmm. and years and years and years because that's what they learned in medical school, mm-hmm. and then they did the research themselves. Good morning, Dr. Pilevsky.
Good morning. How are you today?
Terrific. You are talking to us from where?
From New York City.
From New York City, and we understand you're leaving New York City to come to London, Ontario in just a few days.
Yes, I'll be there on May 8th. Next Tuesday.
Why?
There's a group of people, practitioners in the London area, who've invited me before to give a talk on vaccines. And the conversation that we raised a couple of years ago has obviously continued in the community. And they've asked me to come back and continue a dialogue with another audience.
Now, Dr. Pilevsky, you're a pediatrician and had an epiphany about vaccines. Can you tell us what happened before you had that epiphany?
Well, I mean, I was trained at NYU School of Medicine in New York. I graduated medical school in 1987, 25 years ago, and then did a pediatric residency in New York City at Mount Sinai Hospital. And, I mean, I had no reason to doubt any of the material that I was trained to believe was true. And I practiced that material for a number of years. And I was an ER physician, and I ran a pediatric intensive care unit. I worked in a neonatal ICU. I worked in more ERs. I covered the inpatient floors in the hospital. But it was the literature that started to come out, and it was the parents that started to approach me with questions about the specific vaccines that their kids were getting that made me not turn them away, but actually consider that perhaps what they were saying might actually be true. Now, initially when I was a physician, I thought, okay, I'm right. I'm the doctor. I know what's best. And as I became more fluent in my practice, I realized that there were many things that parents were saying that actually I didn't know and that I wasn't right about. And it's quite a humbling experience to realize that parents might actually know more than I did. And, you know, I got chopped at my knees a couple of times because I wasn't right, or I wasn't the god that everyone puts doctors up to be. And I started to hear what they were saying and say, okay, let me ask more questions.
Doctor, could you share one of those moments when you were eyeball to eyeball with a parent and you realized that this parent might be more correct on the issue of vaccines than you, the smart guy with all the degrees and all the training?
Right. It was 1997, and a parent came up to me in the clinic where I was working and seeing patients and said to me, Dr. Larry, did you know that there's mercury in vaccines? Now, this was 14 years after I had started medical school. And it, up to that point, I had never been taught to look inside the package insert. And so I looked inside the package insert and said, okay, well, if mercury's in here, what else is in here? And her concern became my concern, because I know mercury is a poison, regardless of whether you inhale it, ingest it, or inject it. And so I began to look what else is in there, and I started to find that there were things in there that I had no understanding of, and realized that there was very little understanding about what those ingredients did if they were individually injected into the body, and certainly what those ingredients did if they were combined in an injection and injected into the body.
You went through all those years of medical school, and they didn't tell you there was mercury in vaccines? What did they tell you, that God reached down and as a gift to humanity, he gave this little drug, which we should give to all our children?
Well, I don't know that it was put that way, but certainly we were taught what the common ideology is that vaccines are the best creation in the 20th century for modern medicine, and they protect against disease and save lives. And I had no reason to even question the possibility of whether or not those statements were true.
There are parents right now, and I want to ask you about this when we come back, we have to take a short break, who are saying, oh, dear God, please, Dr. Palevsky, please don't tell me I made a mistake pumping Gardasil into the arm of my daughter in grade 7. We'll be back with Dr. Palevsky to ask him that question in just a moment. Right here in London today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
We're the only country other than New Zealand that allows advertising on TV for pharmaceutical drugs.
You can't sue the drug company that made the vaccine.
That's not science, that's politics.
Texas Governor Rick Perry has ordered that schoolgirls must get the Gardasil shot.
We can do this the easy way, or we can do this the hard way.
The only thing that we oppose is forced vaccination.
Sadly, some people don't do what's best for their children unless it's mandated.
We're not zealots. We're not some people that are looking for a conspiracy or a fight.
The vaccine program, it's one size fits all.
We worry about the future.
You could have 30, 40, 50 different vaccines mandated and absolutely no accountability. You have a prescription for disaster.
I have a child, and then I follow the rules, and I damage this child. That's hard for me to understand.
I just want everybody to lay down their arms and figure out what is making them so sick.
Show us the science and give us the choice.
22 minutes now after 10 o'clock on this Thursday morning. Andy Udman with Pam Colleen. Pam, on the whole issue of vaccines, right near the top, I would think, is the issue of Gardasil.
Mm-hmm. And Erin Brockovich, many people are familiar with her name. Erin Brockovich got onto this story because she kept getting lots and lots of emails from parents who had vaccinated their daughter with Gardasil, and the daughter suffered serious consequences from the vaccine. So I want to ask Dr. Pilevsky if he's seen the same effects.
Well, you know, this is one of the more recent vaccines that we've added to the pediatric schedule, not only for girls, but now it's recommended for boys. And, you know, this is a vaccine that was fast-tracked. So the full study of this vaccine on children was not done, and it was not done appropriately. So the vaccine was brought to market before we actually understood all of the nuances of how it affects the human body. The problem with the vaccine is that it contains several very toxic chemicals, aluminum being one of them, and polysorbate 80 being another. And the interesting thing about polysorbate 80 is that it's a chemical that allows for materials from the bloodstream to pass easily into the brain, regardless of the condition of whether the brain barrier is protecting the brain or not. So aluminum is neurotoxic, and polysorbate 80 binds to aluminum and allows for the passage of aluminum into the brain. What you're seeing is a lot more children, specifically girls, who are having these neurological reactions. They're either fainting, they're having strokes, they're developing diminished neurological function, some of them can't walk, and the modern medical community is denying that there's anything that the vaccine could possibly be doing at any increased rates to affect the health of their brains. And this is based on the ideology that vaccines couldn't possibly be more damaging than the few cases that they think come about because of vaccine adverse reactions.
Now, Dr. Pilevsky, I want to talk a little bit about the science here. Who is conducting the science? How accurate is the science? How thorough is the science?
Well, most of the studies that are done by the manufacturers themselves. So you sort of have the fox guarding the hen house. And a couple of months ago, a scientist in Connecticut in a specific research lab took a sample of about a dozen or so HPV vaccines from all around the country, and he examined them for contaminants. And he found that all of them had contaminants of the original HPV virus. And the package inserts specifically state that the vaccines are not contaminated with the virus. They only contain a small protein that's supposed to be extracted from the original virus that becomes part of the vaccine final product. And he found that all 12 of the samples contained the actual virus itself, which is a contamination. And his lab was shut down by the government.
Oh, my word.
So the question really is, you know, who's doing the science and what happens when good science is actually reported? And there is concern, and there should be more concern, about whether or not the proper studies are being done to fully evaluate the effects of not only what the ingredients are, but what happens short-term and long-term. When these vaccines are injected into kids,
we don't have
long-term studies.
Doctor, for those parents who right now are saying, "Doctor, please tell me, should I vaccinate my children because I'm under tremendous pressure?" What would your answer be?
Well, you know, there's the side of the medical community that says you must vaccinate, and then there's the side completely opposite that says don't dare vaccinate. And the position that I like to take is, well, let me give you the information that truly, I feel, balances whether or not the risk of the disease is greater than the risk of the vaccine. And once I feel that the information is offered, parents are better able to really evaluate from that position whether or not the vaccine is a viable choice.
Is that a polite way of saying no?
Well, it's a polite way of saying that once you see the information, you'll have a better understanding of whether or not the risk of disease is greater than the risk of the vaccine. And again, there are so few answers about the risk to the vaccines that I think the answer becomes obvious.
Doctor, hold that thought. Anna would like to jump in. Anna has six daughters and tells us that she feels tremendous pressure from teachers. Anna, what's your story?
Yes, I have one daughter in grade 7, and this past year she said she felt pressure from the teacher to have the vaccine, that it, the Gardasil vaccine, and if she didn't, then it would be big trouble later on for her. But I said I signed the consent no, so they're not going to get the vaccine, but she had a lot of questions for me. I just don't think it's right that the teachers at the school pressure the girls.
Dr. Pilevsky, do you have anything to say about that?
Yeah, I mean, this is a very large problem, I think, just not only in Canada, but probably in the United States as well. And it's not the role of the teacher. It's not the role of the teacher to be telling children who are vulnerable what is best for their bodies.
Anna, how intense was this pressure on your daughter?
I don't think it was intense, but even the fact that it was commented, I don't think should have been allowed.
Because we have had people on the show, including a doctor, a chiropractor, who was at London Health Sciences Center, when they said they were going to vaccinate his child, and he said, no, they're not, that they threatened, literally, to call the children's aid on the spot.
Oh, well, no, I haven't experienced that, thank goodness. But
well, I think it's very confusing for a teenage girl who wants to do what's best for her body.
Exactly.
And then hears this information from an authority figure and doesn't know whether to trust whether or not that authority figure is telling the truth.
Anna, so what have you decided for your six daughters?
Oh, last week I printed off the, I'm going to get an affidavit signed. My kids are going to be exempt from vaccines. The five oldest girls have all had their full immunizations, but they're not going to get the Gardasil. I have, my sixth child is a boy, and he has autism. And it's through a lot of reading and research that I finally realized that vaccines aren't good for everyone. So none of my children are going to have any more vaccines.
So no more vaccines at your house?
No more.
Terrific. Anna, I appreciate it. Doctor, we have to take a short break. We'll be back with Dr. Pilevsky, who's coming to London next week. What night, Pam?
Tuesday, May 8th at 6:30 p.m. at the Lamplighter Inn on Wellington Road.
Okay, terrific. And we'll tell you where tickets are available when we come back in just a moment. Right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK. 10:37 now. It's a very emotional topic, a painful subject for a lot of parents, whether to vaccinate their children. We are in conversation this morning with Dr. Larry Pilevsky, who is coming to London next week. And we're getting some inquiries already, Pam. Where and when?
He's speaking at the Lamplighter Inn on Wellington, Tuesday, May 8th at 6:30 p.m. There are tickets available at the door for $15. In advance, they can be purchased for $10 at Quartermaster Natural Foods in Wortley Village, Homeopathy London at the Covent Garden Market, Lindy's Health Food at Oxford Street and Stewart, and Jay Danson and Zoe's Marketplace in Lambeth. And Tracy will be giving away 10 free tickets for this event for the first 10 callers who call 519-719-0819.
Dr. Pilevsky, this, I sense, has become a personal crusade for you, talking to people, warning people about vaccines.
Well, I mean, my Hippocratic Oath, having taken that when I graduated medical school, was to first do no harm. And it's my job as a physician, the real definition of a physician is a teacher. And my job is to give information to people, to let them know more of the information than what they're already being reported. So it's my job. It's not necessarily a personal crusade, but it's my job as a physician to teach people what the both sides of the story is. And I think it's first do no harm. And I have realized that the risk of vaccinations may be greater in a growing subset of children than the actual risk of the disease. Most of the diseases that we vaccinate against, not all, but most of the diseases are pretty benign and can be handled appropriately with the proper kind of medical care. We're talking about a first world country that has the top rate medical system in the world. Most of the children do not have bad outcomes from the actual diseases that we vaccinate against.
Now, Dr. Pilevsky, in 2000, the journal Pediatrics published information that said that for the vast majority or several of the vaccines that we use today, that these diseases were almost all eradicated before the vaccines even hit the market, and that it was better sanitation and hygiene that actually contributed to the reduction in these infectious diseases.
Correct. I mean, there's clear evidence of graphs that show that the majority of the diseases that we've had in the 20th century went away long before the vaccines were implemented. This is a hard concept for people to understand. And again, if we're going to vaccinate, we have to be sure that the acute and long-term outcomes of vaccination are no greater than the actual outcomes of the disease itself. And because there's very little data on the long-term outcomes of vaccination, and we're also noticing that there are very significant immune changes and neurological changes after we inject vaccination material, we are now understanding that some of these diseases are not as bad as the permanent or almost permanent damage that can happen after vaccination. And the diseases can be appropriately managed, most of them, not all of them, again, but there are other ways to try to prevent many of the diseases that we do vaccinate against, and to show that vaccination is not the only mechanism by which disease doesn't happen.
Doctor, what Pam just said is so explosive. I wonder if you can go through specific diseases that you would apply this to, this notion that that it's not the vaccines that are protecting us from some of these horrible diseases, but it's things like better sanitation, better medical care generally, not the vaccines. Because there's a perception out there that if they were to ban vaccines tomorrow, society would all have died off by a week from Saturday.
There's a study that I'm looking at right now from the International Mortality Statistics from Washington, D.C., Facts on File, 1981. The polio death rate was decreasing on its own before the vaccine was introduced. There's evidence that the cases of polio were decreasing before 1955 when the vaccine was introduced, to show that the actual numbers were on their way down before the vaccine was introduced. If you look at the graph that is shown in The Greater Good, the movie that you've had in the background on your radio show, there's clear evidence that the whooping cough vaccine was not really implemented until 1949, and you see that the incidence rates and the death rates of this disease was on its way down before 1949. This is true in the Western Hemisphere. It's true in British literature as well.
Are you saying then that the vaccine cannot be given credit for dealing with polio and for dealing with whooping cough?
What I'm saying is that there's evidence to raise the possibility that there were other reasons other than the vaccine that might have also played a role, if not a major role, in seeing the reduction of these diseases.
Now, Dr. Pilevsky, what would it take to satisfy your science background to prove that vaccines are safe and are effective? What would the industry have to do? What would the government have to do?
Well, first of all you have to do is start to look at each individual ingredient that's in a vaccine and notice, take 100 kids, 200 kids, and inject them with the exact amount of that ingredient. Take a placebo group. Take a group of 100 or 200 kids that get a placebo, normal saline. And then take 100 or 200 kids and inject them with nothing. And watch over a period of a week, 2 weeks, a month, 2 months, 4 months, 6 months, what happens to their bodies once this single ingredient is injected into the body. Most people will say that's an unethical study to do. And I say, well, if it's an unethical study to do, then why are we not only using that ingredient when we inject it into kids, but why are we combining it with all the other ingredients and putting it into the body and not really evaluating what are the biomedical, biomechanical, immunological, and neurological effects of injecting these materials into the body.
But what about the long term? What about the long term effects? I mean, these are supposed to be protective materials. Like these products are supposed to protect us. What about monitoring them for 20, 30 years to see if indeed they are healthy?
Well, the ingredients aren't monitored for several weeks. They're not, certainly not monitored right now for what they do in the body over 20 years.
Doctor, you speak calmly. And the danger, I think, for our audience is that they don't realize the significance, the true significance of what it is you're saying. What is it you're saying about the risks of vaccines?
What I'm saying is that there's a growing body of scientific literature to show that the damaging effects of the injection of these materials on the immune and neurological system of our bodies is starting to surpass the damaging effects of some of the diseases that we vaccinate against.
In other words, the cure may be worse than the disease.
Well, the alleged cure.
The alleged cure. I'm being facetious.
Right.
The, quote, cure is worse than the disease. That is absolutely mind-boggling.
And ideologically, it's very difficult for the body of associations and governments and corporations to accept that we're actually, perhaps, in a growing subset of children and adults, doing more harm than good.
Now, children, I mean, we can all die from thousands of different diseases. Does this mean down the road that, and I'm being facetious here, of course, but is industry going to create thousands of vaccines for us to protect us all?
Well, it's already in the works. I mean, there are hundreds of thousands of vaccine potentially being brought or being studied right now to bring to market.
How many?
At least 100,000 that I saw.
In other words, in the society of the future, if we follow the logic of vaccinating your children against serious diseases, the first thing you would do at school every day is get the 7 vaccines, because that's how many it's going to take, 6 or 7 a day, to protect yourself against all these diseases.
To allegedly protect yourself, yes.
Now, I call this an unholy alliance between public health and the vaccine industry. What I see is the public health officials doing the free marketing for the vaccine industry. And I just don't think people in public health intended to help, you know, the CEO of a pharmaceutical company gain about $20 million in income a year. I don't understand this unholy alliance and why public health keeps saying vaccines are safe and effective.
Well, remember, part of it is based on the unholy alliance that you're describing, but part of it is based on a rigidly accepted ideology. And the ideology is that vaccines, that these diseases are deadly, and that we can prevent against these diseases only by the use of vaccines. And if you don't use vaccines, you are putting yourself at risk for significant disease and perhaps mortality.
Doctor, we have just a few moments left. I want to take a short break. When we come back, I want to ask you about the most common vaccines out there and what your advice would be on whether people should take them. I'm always amused by the, amused isn't probably the right word, by the drug commercials, which I see every night on ABC News. 30 seconds of it can do this and it can improve your life, but your eyes could pop out, you could have diarrhea, you'll be vomiting out your ears, and all the other warnings. What you're talking about is the risk of some of the drugs that we think God gave to us personally to make our lives better. We'll be back with Dr. Pilevsky in just a moment, right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK. In conversation with Dr. Pilevsky, who's coming to London next week to talk about vaccines, John has a quick question about his granddaughter taking a vaccine. Go ahead, John.
Great-granddaughter, she's 6 months old, Andy, and she's had the 3 month immunizations and the 6 month immunizations the other day. Now, are they necessary is what I'm asking the doctor.
Doctor, go ahead.
Well, the conventional medical doctor that she goes to obviously thinks they are necessary. The question of necessary is a much larger subject.
Okay. But now my second question is, my grandson started school and was told by the board that unless he was immunized, he couldn't come to the school.
I mean, this is an interesting concept because somehow the public health policy is tied to the public education policy. In other words, your body isn't able to learn or your brain isn't able to function unless you have a certain number of vaccines in your body. And this is a bit concerning that there's a tie here, or as Pam would say, an unholy alliance between a public health thought and a public education thought. Somehow there's this other belief that these germs only find their way into schools when kids congregate together, so that they must be vaccinated together in school, because otherwise, you know, all these diseases are going to erupt in a school setting because they wouldn't possibly erupt anywhere else.
Well, I'd never reached seeing grandchildren and great-grandchildren if that. I never had any of those when I went to school.
John, I appreciate the call. We have just a few moments left, and I really want to focus in on, I want to give our audience, as I always do, a takeaway. John, let's look at the most common vaccines that are out there today and what your thoughts are on each of them very quickly.
Let's take the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine. Measles is a benign virus. In fact, when I was growing up as a medical student, I was taught by the mentors who practiced pediatric medicine in the 1940s in New York all the way up to the 80s that when their children in their practice would get these benign measles, mumps, rubella, chickenpox illnesses, that the children, if left to get these diseases unimpeded with suppression of medicines, these kids would have a developmental growth spurt after the illnesses were over. There's a value to many of these viral illnesses. They actually help to prune the brain, to advance health, to optimize the immune system function. Many of these viruses that we vaccinate against are already parts of our own DNA and RNA in our cells. We're injecting these foreign viruses into the body. Anytime you inject foreign DNA into the body will see it as foreign and reject it. If you have a piece of that DNA as part of your own body, your body will start to reject itself. And this is where you set up the body for autoimmunity.
Gardasil, so, yes or no? Gardasil, yes or no?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
Now, Dr. Pilevsky, do you find that other doctors are coming on board and questioning vaccines, doing some of the same research you've done?
Well, you know, each doctor does his or her own soul-searching privately and will decide whether or not they're willing to make a public stand. I think there's polarization that's happening. You have doctors who are coming out vehemently and violently against families saying that vaccines must be given and your kids cannot come to my practice. And then there's a growing number of physicians who are quietly saying, I understand the controversy. You can come to my practice even if you don't vaccinate.
Doctor, what else on the absolutely not list? I mentioned Gardasil. You immediately said absolutely not. What other vaccines would you put on the absolutely not list?
Well, that's the one that I'll stay with, Andy. The rest of the vaccines have a lot more of a discussion than a yes or no and require a greater in-depth discussion of what the diseases are, how they're contracted, what the risks are of getting the disease, what's the risk of the vaccine material themselves, how can you prevent against getting these diseases.
Are there vaccines that you would say, yes, I would suggest that one?
Again, I don't have a specific yes on any of them because I have a great concern, and the science is backing this up, that when you inject materials into the body, you are impairing the immune system to a greater extent by injecting material into the body, and that is a growing concern in the scientific literature. So an absolute yes, I can't say because I just have great concern about the literal injection of material.
What can people do, Dr. Pilevsky, to help boost their immune system naturally?
Well, the immune system is already naturally boosted. It's already strong. We have to look at many of the things that we do from our diets, from our consumption of over-the-counter drugs, from our consumption of pharmaceutical drugs, from our exposure to environmental toxins, from the stress levels that we live, to see what we're doing that actually may be impairing our body system and putting us in vulnerable places where we do have a system more likely to get disease. So it's a broader perspective on how to keep your immune system strong. It's already strong, but we do a lot of things in our choices in our daily lives that actually weaken our system.
Okay, we have just 2 minutes left, but Chris wants to jump in. His son is not vaccinated. He has signed a form to allow his son to still go to school. Chris, are you nervous not having your son vaccinated against anything?
No, not at all. And actually, he hasn't gone to school yet, but the doctors are trying to say, oh, he has to get vaccinated or else he can't go to school. And having a bit of my wife's background is in this She's a holistic nutritionist, and all the naturopathic doctors have said, no, there's a form that you can get signed to say that, you know, we've chosen not to have them vaccinated, and they cannot deny your children access to any school.
Right. Chris, I appreciate it. Okay, doctor, you're coming to town next week. Pam's going to give the times and places again.
Yes, Dr. Pilevsky is speaking at the Lamplighter Inn on Tuesday, May 8th at 6:30 p.m. Tickets are at the door for $15 in advance, for $10 at Quartermaster, Homeopathy London, Lindy's, Jay Danson, and Zoe's Marketplace. And Tracy will be giving out 10 free tickets to the first 10 callers who call 519-719-0819. I'll say that again, 519-719-0819. And Dr. Pilevsky, I look forward to meeting you next Tuesday, May 8th.
Okay, doctor, real quick question. Why should people who are concerned about vaccines come to hear you speak?
Well, I give them information that they don't hear from their regular physicians or from the media, and I also explain some of the risks, and I also explain some of the concerns as to what's happening to the immune system when children are vaccinated.
Doctor, we welcome you in advance to London, Ontario, and we thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much.
Terrific. Important meeting for parents to go to, Pam.
It's going to be very important. I think a lot of people are going to show up, have a lot of questions for Dr. Pilevsky as well. So it's going to be a good opportunity for people who are sitting on the fence.
And, of course, they can check him out on the online.
Yes, actually, his website is www.drpilevsky. So it's Dr. Dr. Pilevsky, PalevsKy.com, drpilevsky.com.
Starts with PAL. P-A-L. That ought to help you. Pam, thank you so much. 11 o'clock news just around the corner. When we come back, Pam's going to have to leave the building because her head will explode if she heard our next guest who says we should all turn vegan. You can go and see the PETA folks at the Shell gas station in Oxford. We'll talk to them next about why we should all go vegan, never eat meat, eggs. Pam, give me 5 seconds.
Well, the vegan diet was invented to basically nuke people's sex drive. You know, it'll just knock out your libido, essentially.
Well,
that was that's the history.
End of the argument.
That's the history of it, Andy.
I'm going to cancel the interview.
It's the history of a vegan diet. That's why it was invented.
We'll be back with Pete in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.